to the book of Romans in chapter 1. Romans in chapter 1. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we bow before you head and heart. God, thank you for being who you are. Help us even now. According to your good pleasure, we think of all that's going on all over the world, hard and difficult things for many people. God, thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for your understanding to outwork all things that accomplish your good and holy and heavenly purpose everywhere, forever. God, thank you. So deal with us, and we'll thank you, Spirit of God, in Christ's name. Amen. In our study of late, we have shared together the miracle of miracles, the mystery of mysteries. Genesis 3:15, the very, very, very beginning, when Adam and Eve had just sinned, God promised the seed of the woman. And we went over that a little. We share together that God, in his wonderful grace, understands our humanity and deals with it accordingly. And we share together that over 300 passages in the Word of God, Old Testament, point to the wonderful person of our Lord Jesus Christ, telling you from birth to everything about him. So there'll be no question. And we shared together in Micah 5 and 2 that he would be born in Bethlehem of Judea, a very, very little place just south of Jerusalem. Just a little place. You'd go right through it without even knowing it. Now, in the light of that, and we shared together that God is who he is, and he's very, very great. And we shared together there are no words to describe his, we have the word infinity, we have the word can't be measured, unbounded. We have all words and language, but we don't have any word to describe him. He just says it in a very simple way. He is. And he that cometh to God must believe that he is. I-S. There isn't any place he isn't. He is. Wonderful God in size. Greatness, grandness. We have no words. So now, having said that, though, God, if you understand that little bit, do you understand that everything in all of creation is small to God? There is nothing big to God anywhere. The billions of galaxies, not stars, a little span of his finger, here to here. They're just a little finite expression of his infinite person. So God, there's nothing big, no. You made us in your image and likeness to be able to enjoy you and honor you. Now, we have the privilege of that. So now, God, what's our problem? Well, we have a problem with the key problem, actually, is the word pride, P-R-I-D-E. And pride does a number on us. We all have it. And unfortunately, it is our enemy more than our friend. And therefore, here's our pride. And pride promotes, enlarges, increases. Whatever thing is, pride enlarges it, promotes it, pushes it up in one way or another. And thus it elevates everything in life. Pride elevates everything. Work, home, school, pride gets in the way. And most of all, pride in our own heart. And pride makes us bigger than we are. Makes us think more of ourselves than we should. Pride. Pride. Pride promotes us. Now, what does that do? Well, it makes it so God can't deal with us. And of all the things that God hates, certainly at the top of the list in Proverbs 6 is pride. 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 So God, here you are in your greatness. Now how are we going to understand thy greatness? By smallness. Because everything's small. And that's how we come to grips with your greatness. But when pride produces and gives us a sense that somehow we're in control, somehow we, in our little spot on planet Earth, somehow we control the planet. We know we don't, but we control our situation. We control our job. We control our home. We control our health. We control. Pride. Pride makes it so we can't know God. So we don't enjoy God. We miss all the privileges of God. We miss all of them. We totally miss out pride. So now, here in Romans 1, just very quickly, verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, their thought process, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible, the word corruptible, to perish. Corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beast, and creeping things. Verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. So God, what pride does what to us? Well, it enlarges everything, and self is at the center of it. And so therefore, how am I going to come to grips with you? Well, I'm going to look at your word and read, and we share together in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 15, 16, 17, that all of the nations of the world are a drop in a bucket. Here they are. They are a drop in a bucket. 17, verse 17. They are as nothing to me. So here we are, little humans, and here's all the nations, here's all the population of the world system. And God said it is nothing. And we are going to be something. That's our trouble. Now, that gets in the way. So now, having said that, and in the light of that, and in the light of Psalm 8 and etc., remember, God says, 144, who is man? What is a man? What are humans anyway? What are they? They have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful future because of God's wonderful, wonderful saving grace. Now, in order to look at that, and to try to pick up where we were, over to Luke chapter 1. Here we're looking at the wonderful, wonderful birth, virgin birth, of our Lord Jesus Christ. And why it's so special. It answers the seed of the woman. If that didn't happen, the seed of the woman, all the promises and all the predictions wouldn't go anywhere. So now in Luke chapter 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this thing be, seeing I know not a man? How can I be expecting and have a man when I know not a man? The answer, verse 35, the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So God, you're going to do a wonderful thing in the conception, not in the birth. The birth is normal. Conception's a miracle. And in the process of all of that, and you're going to take that birth in a very special way. Remember, everything is small to God. And how are you going to help us, God? You got to help us because we pride keeps everything up. So you got to keep everything down. That's why little Bethlehem, little bread, little wine, little this, little that. Why do you keep saying little? And then you take something very little and make it very big. Aha! Uh-huh. You have to learn. Now, here's Luke again, looking at the wonderful, wonderful birth. And in the account, as you read it in Luke and in chapter 2, picking up in, if I can, in Luke chapter 2. Now, here's the baby's going to be born in Bethlehem, David's home, and he's the son of David in historic human sense. And if I can, picking up, please, in verse 6. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. So they're in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is a very little old place, has one little motel, 20 rooms, make believe. One little gas station, and that's it. So now here's all the people. Everyone that was born in Bethlehem that's alive comes to Bethlehem. So they all got to come, according to Roman law, that to be taxed. They all come. So there's a whole lot of people. A whole lot of people. And there's no room. You understand why there's no room? Wow. So now, and if I can, in verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So we need to get some words that help us. And here she's going to wrap him. Going to wrap him in swaddling clothes. Swaddling clothes. Those are clothes that you cut. It's cloth. Just linen cloth. Cloth. And you wrap things like a bandage, or you wrap them. These are little squares with a tag that they cut, and they also have long cloth, as you'll see. And they take the cloth, just cloth, and that's what you wrap them in. And he's wrapped. He's wrapped in swaddling clothes. And he's in a manger. He laid him in a manger. And the manger is the word crib or stall. Or to say it easily, it's the feeding stall for animals. It's the feeding stall where animals put their head in and get the food. That's what it is. And it's in a stable. But this isn't a built stable. This is a natural one. This is not something man built. This is something they had, that they housed their animals at night, etc., in the stall, and it's a natural, not a built one, little partitions and has it in it. And here's the feeding stall. So what do we have? Well, we have her having a little baby, and the baby is placed in the feeding stall in this place outside. It's outside. There's no room. There's no room in the inn. So the baby's there, and the baby's placed in that place. And in the process, God, what have you done? Well, I've gone and taken this little baby, going to have a little baby. Couldn't you have a baby in Rome, a big city, a big palace? Nope. He's destined to be born in little Jerusalem, little Bethlehem. And he's going to be born in a manger, a crib where animals feed. Going to be in a stable outside there. Going to be there. And I'm going to go and do a wonderful thing. as creator. I am who I am, and I am going to do something wonderful. I'm going to go and take this little baby that I have brought forth, and who's holy, harmless, that means without any evil, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. I'm going to Hebrews 7. I'm going to go and take him and have him born there. He could be born other places, true, but that is not my will. I want him at the lowest of low to be born. He humbled himself. He's born in the lowest of low. Now, in the light of that, and his flesh is veiled. Now, remember, incarnation means to embody with flesh, to surround, to wrap. God wrapped himself in flesh. You put your clothes on and you wrapped yourself in your clothes. Today, most of you. He wrapped himself in flesh, your flesh. He's not born like you and me. He's born physically. And God wrapped himself in that humanity. A body, Hebrews 10, a body thou hast prepared for me, 10:5. A body. And he wrapped himself. He's incarnate. He's in that body. He's wrapped in that body. That's an awesome thing. Who's wrapped in that body? God. Who is? Who has no measurements? And, wonder of wonders, not only did he wrap himself in that body, at least you could have gone to ShopRite or Kmart and got a nice piece of cloth. No, he didn't. They just took the cloth, the ordinary cloth that was the round that the ordinary person had who had no money, no wealth, and they wrapped him. So here's the little baby wrapped in cloth, just plain cloth. That's all. And his body. God, you're wrapped in humanity. Uh-huh. And you're wrapped with a little cloth. Uh-huh. I am. Wow. You have to think about that. Wow. Now, and so, God, you veiled yourself. You covered yourself in flesh. The Godhead see. Like, hail, thou incarnate deity, God, wonder of wonders, who is at all times in timeless eternity. God, there was never a moment that you weren't God in that little crib. Never. Uh-huh. Never a moment. And, all of forever, and everything all in forever, are found in your awesome person. So here you are in that little manger, in the crib, in the stall, feeding stall, right there, and at the same moment, there's nothing anywhere in all of forever that is not in the middle of you. You are absolutely God, incarnate. You have to think about that. Thank God. How big are you, God? I'm big. How big do you think I am? Well, we are little God over here, little gods over here, and we do what we do, and we have some very human, limited understanding of you, God. And therefore, we lose out. God, you certainly try to help us. You certainly try to help us understand about who you are. And you fulfill all your promises and all your predictions, born of the Virgin Mary, in this little place. In this little place, in the perfect timing, in the fullness of time, Galatians 4, you chose this place. And chapter 2 of Luke, while you're here, while you're in there, Luke. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Jerusalem, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because there was there because he was of the house and lineage of David. And there was no room in that place, no room anywhere for him to go. Bethlehem, verse 7, she was brought forth, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. No room, no room at all. No room, no room. Here's all the humans are cluttered, crowded. And so, where are you going to be? I'm going to end up in a little manger, a little feeding stall. That's what I'm going to do. God, are you like, you're going to do that? I am. I'm going to be laid there. That's where the animals feed. That's where I am. Now, you want to contrast that with this word that you're looking at, swaddling clothes. I'm going to go in the Old Testament to see this word in the Greek. Over, if you would, to Job. The book of Job, chapter 38. Now, you won't appreciate swaddling clothes till you understand God. Now, Job is God's dealing with Job in a most wonderful way. I'll get chapter 38, verse 1. Job 38:1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?" God, you're going to deal with Job. I am. I'm going to help Job. Job's my man. He's my man. I'm going to help him. And so what are you going to do? Well, the argument was being made that God, your moral government, they were his friends were bringing up, well, God's doing what he's doing, and you must be wrong, Job. You must have sinned somehow. And so God, how do you govern? And God helps them with 100 questions. And he says, to start off, listen. Tell me if you can understand the world you live in. And then we'll talk about my government. First, let's see you understand the world you live in. So now we're going to go. And if I can, verse 3. Gird up thy loins like a man, and I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Sliding down, where were you when the foundations of the earth were laid? Where were you in the beginning? Where you were there? No, you weren't there, no. By the way, God said, let me give you a little more help, because since you weren't there, I'm going to tell you what I did. And in verse 6, whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, hung in the middle of space, and who laid the cornerstone thereof? And when the morning stars, angels, sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy, or that's the angels looking at this magnificent thing God was doing in the middle of himself, creation. Verse 8, who shut up the sea with doors when it break forth, or if it had issued out of the womb, when I made the cloud the garment thereof, and the thick darkness a swaddling band for it, I went and took Genesis 1, and I took it, here's this water, and I wrapped it in darkness. The baby was wrapped in cloth. I wrapped creation in cloth. I wrapped it in swaddling clothes. And out of it came life. Wow. God. And here you are, letting yourself be wrapped with humanity and wrapped with a piece of cloth. What a difference, huh? Wow. God, you who wrapped the whole thing in just like that, and now you're being wrapped all by your little lonesome. Wow. And you're letting it happen, God, in a most marvelous way. So God, the baby, God incarnate in the body and in cloth, and heaven was wrapped in swaddling clothes. Heaven was, but the mighty God, But when it came to you, God, in your grace to save us, what did you do? You wrapped yourself in a swaddling cloth. That's what you did. You wrapped heaven, and you wrapped all the earth, and then you wrapped yourself. That's what you did. Wow. A mighty God became a helpless infant. The everlasting Father became a child. The Ancient of Days became a baby. Can you imagine? It's hard, isn't it? No, it can't be. But it is. See? Because he's God. How many people do you think understand him and honor him? Because our pride gets in the way and ruins us. It ruins us now. So having said that and keeping that in mind, and in Wonders of Wonders, God, not only did you wrap yourself like that, but then another marvelous thing. It's a marvelous thing, God. Back over, if you would please, to the Gospel of Luke. And in chapter 2. And in the Gospel of Luke and chapter 2, may I pick up, please, keeping in mind now, God, here's the little baby going to be born in the normal, natural way, a very special baby born, and the little baby's born, and it has to express its life, and it does, and it cries. Now, God, you are God, and you've limited itself. You've limited yourself physically, if you yield, to no more than a cry. And if you yield, you have no knowledge. You have no knowledge, God. You cry. You're limited to a cry. Yes, I am. No. Yes, I am. I am. Now, so in the light of that, and so you cry in the crib, you know, and God said, but God, who are you? God said all over the place, God said, Genesis chapter 1, God said, and everything happened. I have spoken and commanded it. It will be so just as I speak. Wow. And here you are, you limited yourself to a baby's cry, just a cry in a crib. Just a cry in the crib, that's all. In a little body, in a crib with a white cloth, little cloth. Now, who hears you and who cares? Did you know that? No one's going to pay attention to you in Bethlehem. Or are they? Oh, they are. The angels all know. The angels all understand. The good guys and the bad guys. They all know. They do. And the shepherds? Oh, they didn't mess around. They got a message from the angels, and they're going to go. They're going to go and see. They're going to go see what? The babe in a manger in a stall in the feeding trough. You're going to go see him. We are. As it were, that's what they're going to head, at least in that direction. And in the process, and then the Simeon is going to come along, and chapter 2 of Luke. And if I can, in verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was, by the way, remember now, here in verse 15, chapter 2, verse 15 of Luke. I'm going to go in the middle of the statement. Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see, S-E-E, this thing. Going to see that it was made known to them. What are they going to see? Down in verse 16. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. They went and saw this awesome thing. Now, Simeon, verse 25. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, our Lord. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death, before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And it came, and he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms, and then took he him up in his arms, he held him in his arms, and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Why? For, verse 30, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. God, where? In that little baby. That's right. That little baby. I've seen the Savior. I've seen the seed of the woman. I've seen it. Wow. 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 I'm taken. And thus God, he who thunders in the heavens, cried all alone, a little baby in a manger. And in a manger, he cried so that we could enter into his wonderful paradise. We could have never done it, God. We would never make it without that. No, not without it. Not without it at all. So now, God, here we are looking, and here's the virgin birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem of Judea, born of God, came down from God, and so that we could go up to God. And God, all of it happened in such a way that no one's going to pay attention. Remember John 1:10, we were in the world, and the world knew us, the world, he was in the world, and the world knew him not. Well, who's going to pay attention to Bethlehem? Who's going to pay attention to a little stall? Who's going to pay attention to a human just like us? Just like us. And we don't even think good of us. We think a lot about ourselves in our pride. But actually, we are dust, aren't we? Any of you not dust? You're all dust, aren't you? What a dusty crowd. All dust, aren't you? And so is everyone else. All 7 billion people in the world are all dust. Just dust. Wow. And God, you're going to... You did that. But who's going to pay attention? They didn't. Well, we sing at Merry Christmas in Bethlehem, all that. But what does it mean? Where does it go? Not very far. Pretty soon you won't have to go to the mall. It'll be all over. Wow. Except to return everything. You know. Wow. So God, and by the way, and you know, if you would, go to Mozart. Mozart was the Austrian composer in the 1700s. And you know, they said about Mozart's music that he brought angels down, and when the music was Mozart was played, angels came down to hear it. Wow. There's another fellow, a German composer named Beethoven, in the same period of history. Now, what did we say about Beethoven? Ah, that he lifted up mortals to God. Mozart, you brought angels down. Beethoven, you brought our heart up to God. Wow. Wow. But who listens to Mozart and Beethoven? All they hear is thump, 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 thump. You know, that's the latest hit. Thump, thump, thump. You know, wow. We have no sense of God. We just don't have it. We lose out. We lose out in a most awesome way. And thus, in the process of promise and prediction, and in all the stuff that matters so much, God has made everything little and small, so that we'd pay attention. And he is able to say, this is my beloved Son. Now that's in Matthew 3:17. Go with me, though, to Matthew 17, where he says the same thing and adds three words. Matthew chapter 17. And in Matthew chapter 17, may I pick up, you're familiar with it, but just remember the baby cries. And no one's listening. I mean, you weren't there to hear it. I wasn't there. No. But God, you're going to help us. And he is. Chapter 5, Matthew 17, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. By the way, are you hearing him? He cried. The loudest thing God ever said. He cried. Did you hear him? No, didn't hear him. No. Didn't hear him. Didn't hear him, no. Wow. And in the process, remember verse 8 of chapter 17. And when Moses and Elijah had gone, and when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Only him. That's right. It's all the Bible, all the promises, all the predictions, all from Genesis to Malachi, from Matthew to Revelation. What is it all about? It's all about you, God. A little book that's bigger than all the books in the world, better than all the books in the world, replaces for all practical purposes of living, it replaces them all. Because to know you is to have life eternal. To know you is to have all, everything on this earth answered for. To allow you to be the Savior and sovereign God that you are. That's what it's all about. And so now, God, hears all thy word, and Jesus only, hear ye him, hear ye my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And you know from Hebrews 1 and 2, we don't have to turn there, God hath in these last days spoken unto us, Hebrews 1, 2, spoken unto us by his Son. Did you hear his Son? He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God says. So now, over to Hebrews 3. All he did is cry. Did you hear it? Who cried? He did. God did. That's the marvel. God cried, I got to tell you. If you don't think it's something else to get there, you got another thought coming. I got to tell you. Hebrews chapter 3, picking up, you know it. God, what are you going to tell the believers in the New Testament? What are you going to tell them about the Old Testament in the light of the New Testament? Hebrews chapter 3. And in verse 15, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Chapter 4, verse 7 of Hebrews. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. God, you've been speaking promises, predictions, no one paid attention. You're born in a little babe in a manger. You're born, and is anyone paying attention? Hear ye my Son. But you aren't paying attention. You aren't paying attention. No, not paying attention. And God said, how are you going to enjoy the benefits of my rest, my saving grace, my sovereign grace in your heart? How are you going to enjoy that? You can't. You can't enjoy it. Not without me. Not without me. You reject me, you cannot have that. So now, in the light of that, and remember, in over to John, the Gospel of John, keep you awake. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, picking up, please, if I may. Going directly, if I can. Well, verse 3, To him the... No, I'm going to go directly to verse 27. John 10, 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Well, God, you gave us your word, and we're to pay attention to it. Chapter 5 of John, turn over to chapter 5, remember. In John chapter 5, my sheep hear my voice. Okay. Verse 24, chapter 5, John. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I told you, I wrote it down. The words, I told you to write them down. These things have I written unto you, that you may believe. I wrote them all down, that I wanted you to know. There's 1,000,000,000 words you don't need to know, but I'm giving you the ones you should know, and you need to know them. You need to know them and look to me. Now, in the light of that, in the light of looking to him and trusting him, and remember now, over in, not far away, Matthew chapter 13, the people had a problem hearing him because of who he was, is, and what he does. It's awful hard. You know, one of the things, you studied it, one of the things that offends humanity is the omnipotence of God. The omnipotence of God offends humans. That God could be like that. He is. That God could be omnipresent. That's hard. You can't be. Can't be. Because then where do I find any privacy? Right? Where am I going to go to get privacy if you're everywhere? Where do I hide from you? You don't. Well, I don't want to think about that, so I don't. I don't. I make believe you don't exist, God. And then I play intellectual and academic games to keep me from having to honor you, having to think about you. So now, Matthew chapter 13, verse 9, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So are you going to hear? Well, no, they have to want to hear. And you slide your eye down to verse 15, For the people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they don't want it to happen. At any time they shall see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But, God, is there a benefit if we pay attention? Absolutely. Verse 16, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Hear ye what the Spirit of God says to the churches. Over to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. In Revelation chapter 1, may I pick up, please? May I go directly in the light of the context. Chapter 1 and in verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth. That means something has to be written to read. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. For the time is at hand. It's now. Now's the time to pay attention. Pay attention. God is doing a wonderful thing, has done a wonderful thing, born in Bethlehem of Judea, risen again. And if you have a problem, you say, well, wrapped. You're always wrapping yourself. That's right. So God, now what did you do? Well, when you went, same, got the wrapping again, got the cloth, got some more cloth. We do, some more cloth. So therefore, we're going to go, and he's going to be crucified. There's no time to do the normal burial. It's Sabbath day. So they have to go and just wrap him in cloth. That's all. They're going to wrap him in cloth. He's wrapped again. And when you go to find him, all you find is the wrappings. Remember? All you find is the wrappings. Is anyone paying attention? No, no one's paying attention. No, we don't pay attention. Merry Christmas, you know. Do you understand what's happening? What I did for you? Who I am? Why'd you do it this way? So you'd know. You'd have no question. Thus, over to chapter 3. Chapter 3. And you are familiar. Revelation 3, God's going to have a word as it closes the church age historically and begins the tribulation. And he has a word before he takes us up. He tells us, he reaches out to the world, he reaches out to the churches that have professed him. Don't know him necessarily, but professed him. They're the ones that are going to keep going, Revelation 17. But, God, what did you say? Well, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, if anyone, man, woman, boy, or girl, hear, H-E-A-R, hear my voice. Well, that's why you've given us thy word. That's right. It's my word. My word. Don't add or subtract to it. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, will sup with him, and he with me. I want you to know that if you hear with the ear, hear with the ear. Wow. And understand, God does a wonderful thing in our heart. And in our heart, as we listen, we have God's word. We can't hear a baby cry. That's God. But as we read, we pay attention, God. Marvel of marvels, mystery of mysteries, that I can read and believe and know you. Born this day in the city of David, is no one less and none other than Christ the Lord. You read it. This Christ in the believing heart, when the believing heart receives him, this Christ brings the fullness of God, all of God, all of God's wonderful person, brings the fullest of God and his wonderful desire to save us to the uttermost, to rescue us completely, to give us a wonderful relationship to himself, a wonderful life. Thus, this Christ, to give his wonderful governing and guiding in our little heart, in a troubled world, a very, very troubled world, getting more troubling by the minute, it seems. Wow. But God, you're a wonderful Savior. Uh-huh. This Christ, who brings the good news, who brings the reason for joy, who's the babe in Bethlehem, the babe of the Bethlehem, has made it possible to become the Savior of your heart, your body. Little one born. You say he couldn't be born. Yes, he was. And that's why, dear friend, he will say, you must be born again. You must be born again. You were born physically so that you could be born spiritually. It's a wonderful thing, God. And everything's happening, all kinds of things. But God, if we just stop and take a moment and look in the mirror and then put the mirror down and then look up. And here you are, put your hands in front of you. That's all you are. And everything else, and where's this all going? All this dust that we are, apart from you, God, goes to the grave. And God, what do I have when it's all done? I got all seasoned like it was in the seasons and everything, family, friends, war, everything. But God, I missed out on who you are. You are awesomely, awfully great, grand, gracious, good. God, you are something else. Is he your Lord and Savior? That's the question. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness, and God, take the little bit and just help us. We are able to hear with the ear. We want to say with Samuel, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. God, we do want to hear. We do want to hear. We do want to come to grips with the fact that he that cometh to you must understand that you are, you is, always, forever. None other and no one less than God in all of your fullness and all of your greatness. God, help us. We have no way to talk, to read, to understand. God, we take our little bit, and God, you have to enlarge it. Help us with our pride that promotes all of that which takes away from all that you are. And our God will thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that. You may want to turn in your hymnal, if you would, to...